Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. We carry on with our study on faith and on these characters of faith in this great book, this great chapter of Hebrews chapter number 11. We come this morning to verses 13 to 16, where the scripture doesn't specifically say who it's speaking of as far as naming them, as it has done earlier in the chapter, where we find by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Sarah, by faith Abraham. But in a general way, we find that we are looking at some of those who've already been discussed, and a little bit more detail about their faith and how it was expressed. In our day of instant, we expect instant results. We have instant, a lot of things, don't we? We have things that are very quick to get and quick to get ready. And our coffee makers kind of clog up after a little while, and that 10 minutes that's supposed to be ready sometimes begins to take half an hour, and we think, what's taking this stuff so long? I gotta have my coffee, and so on. We expect in the day we live to be able to travel quickly, to be able to get what we want quickly, to have meals ready quickly, and so on. And sometimes it has an effect upon our faith. We expect instant results for short-term faith. And we want to see an answer right away. We say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you to do this. So by the time I say amen, I expect to see the answer. And we expect that God will meet our time schedule and so on. But though God does often respond to our short-sighted faith, there are times when we don't see the full extent of what God has for us till sometime down the road. We spoke about that last week when we talked about Sarah, and even the week before speaking about Abraham, and how it took many years, 25 years, before they saw even not the fulfillment of their faith, as we'll see this morning, but a part of the fulfillment of their faith. You know, the problem arises many times in our life from the fact that we look at the temporal blessings God gives us as the ultimate goal, when really our faith needs to look beyond that. Our faith needs to look beyond just the instant answers or the short-term answers that we may receive. In our text today, we'll find that those who we have been mentioning already and looked at some details of their life, we'll look at it in a little bit more general way about how they didn't have a short-term faith, but their faith looked further. And I guess to challenge us with that thought from the message this morning, from our text here in Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, with this thought, that faith looks further. Faith looks further. Look at verse 13, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Faith looks further. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Let's pray together. Thank you again, Father, for this time. We rejoice that we have a great country in which to live, a free country, and we rejoice that we can meet together then around your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have the Bible that we have in our hands. It's not just the words of men, but as is in truth, the word of God. And so we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through that word this morning. Lord, we come not just because it's a habit to assemble on a Sunday morning, but we come because we do want to hear from you. We want to leave here knowing that we have met with you and that you have met with us. And so, Lord, whatever the need of our life be this morning, I pray you speak to us each one. Lord, for you know our needs greater than we do ourselves. If there be any without Jesus Christ as our Savior, they don't have the assurance of that heavenly city that we'll look at this morning, I pray that today they would be challenged with that thought and maybe receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, as Christians, we may have been facing some things in our life, or maybe will be this coming week. We may be struggling with something even right now, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just be encouraged and by the message today and challenged from this matter of faith and seeing things through by faith. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to recognize, as we mentioned at the beginning of verse number 13, that these people that are spoken of had faith to the end. It says they died in faith. not having received the promises. Who are those referred to in these verses? It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. But I think particularly it's referring to Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, who are mentioned in verse number 8 down to verse number 12. Specifically, I believe it's speaking about them, as we will see the context of what it would say. We could say it just refers to Abraham and Sarah, but then it would say these both died in faith, not these all died in faith. So we have to broaden it out, realize that God is speaking about more than just those two figures, but likely all four of them, if perhaps not more than that. But the Bible says that they died in faith. When they died, they were still looking for promises to be fulfilled. Not everything they expected to happen had happened by the time of their death. Now, their faith didn't end with their arrival in the promised land. God called Abraham to leave his home and country. He did. He came out. He landed in the promised land there, and he traveled about in it. But he didn't say, okay, now I'm here. This is it. Because God hadn't given him the land yet. And so they didn't say, as it were, okay, we're here, now we'll look after ourselves. They remained faithful while they sojourned in the land, as we looked a couple of weeks ago. The faith of Abraham and Sarah didn't end with the birth of Isaac, though that was a great miracle. And it was certainly a fulfillment of the promise of God. It wasn't the only thing God had promised. And so their faith didn't end. They didn't say, okay, we have a child now here we go, we'll sort out the rest by ourselves. No, the Bible says that they died in faith. Isaac and Jacob maintained their faith through their lives also. Not perfectly, but they continued to live by faith in their life. And so the Bible says, until the day of their death, they continued to look to God, to trust God, to fulfill His promises, and so they died in faith. You ever experienced it in your own life, or perhaps seen it in the lives of other people, where we express faith in God just to get an answer that we want, and then we just forget about what we promised. We forget about anything else. We may hear somebody say something like, God, if you'll spare my life, I'll serve you. And God spares somebody's life, and then they say, well, that's great. Now I'm feeling good again. Now I'll just go on and live my own life and live my life the way I want to live it. And no thought of God is back there. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be spared. That's what they were looking for. When they got that answer, they said, well, I don't need to trust God anymore. Now I'll just look after things myself. I'll just carry on with my life. God, if you'll get me out of this jam, I'll give you my life. I'll do anything. But then the pressure's off and things settle back down to normal pace again. It's like, well, let's see, what did I want to do? And that faith that was expressed for that short term, when an answer is seen, that faith is left off. And rather than, as these people mentioned here, continuing on with their faith, that faith is just discarded. Well, it got me what I was looking for. That's all I cared about. It's sad, isn't it, that would be the case. But if faith is only expressed temporarily just to get something, what kind of faith is that? The Bible says that these died in faith. The question is our faith that which we will have with us throughout our whole life, or is it just we'll have that faith till we get what we're looking for and then throw in the towel, as it were, and just carry on with our life? The Bible says that they died in faith, not having received the promises. The reason that their faith carried on to their death was because they recognized not everything that God had promised had come to pass yet. They died in faith because there were some unfulfilled promises. They were in the land, but the land was not yet theirs. They were strangers and pilgrims in the land, as we'll get to in a few minutes. But they were there, but they weren't inhabiting the land. The land wasn't fully controlled by them, we might say. It would be literally hundreds of years till that promise was fulfilled. But they didn't quit on God. They, as we'll see in a moment, they believed those promises, and so they died in faith, fully expecting God to fulfill those promises. Though wealthy, Abraham and Sarah, with one son, were not a great nation. They were not a great nation. God said, I will make of you a great nation, Abraham. The first step to that was he had to have a son obviously he can't be a nation without any descendants. And so he recognized, yes, I need a son, but one son and two parents do not make a great nation. Even if we throw Ishmael in there and say we had two sons, that's not a great nation. That's a small family, really. And so there were promises that were not yet fulfilled. Yes, he lived to see Jacob and Esau born. And yet still, that does not comprise a great nation. And so the reality was they died in faith and they had not received the promises. They were still expecting that there were some more promises to be fulfilled. The question is, will you still trust God even if you haven't received all the answers you're looking for? Say, well, I've seen a couple answers, but these other ones, I guess they're just not going to happen, so therefore, I guess God's not going to do anything on those. See, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, they said, God's given these promises, and we haven't seen them all fulfilled yet, but we still believe He's going to do it. We still believe. They died in faith, not having received the promises. Again, in our instantaneous society and with our instant frame of mind, we give up too easily. We don't see things through many times in our life. We say, well, I guess that's just not going to happen, and forget all about it. It takes patience to be faithful to the end. Abraham and Sarah, yes, they'd seen one promise fulfilled, and that took 25 years. Then they died, and they hadn't seen the rest fulfilled yet. And so what would they do? Did they say, I guess God's not going to answer? No, the Bible says that they died in faith, still expecting He's still going to answer. He's still going to do what He said He was going to do. Both faith and patience are required to inherit the promises of God. And so Hebrews 6:12 again says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Remember, God's timing and our timing are not always the same. Often they are not the same. Often they are quite different. And though at the time it seems difficult to understand it because we think we know what our time schedule has to be, God's timing is still better than ours. He knows when things need to be. We think we know, this has to happen by this time. God says, no, I know what it needs to happen by. Just trust me. As we mentioned with Abraham and Sarah waiting at 25 years, I'm sure they said, listen, God, you promised to make us a great nation, and Sarah's already older. Like, this has to happen pretty quickly here. God says, no, it's okay. Just trust me. It'll happen in my time. And going from 65 years old to 90 years old before the promise was fulfilled. It was unlikely in many situations that Sarah would have even had a child at 65 when she hadn't had one until she was 65. But God waited until she was 90 years old to give them a child. God's timing is perfect. They saw that fulfillment, but they said there's more. And we're going to trust God to do more. We recognize that our faith needs to be in for the long term, in for the long haul. You notice what it says here? It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That they could see the promises. They could see them and they said they're far off, but we can see them. Though the promises weren't fulfilled, they could see them and believe that God would fulfill them. As Abraham traveled about the promised land, can you imagine, although he had a great entourage of servants, because at one point he took 318 of his servants and went and rescued his nephew. So he had a great number of people, but even despite that, he wasn't a great nation. But can you imagine maybe 350 people or 400 people as he traveled about in the promised land, and God said, as far as you can see, every direction, I'm going to give you this land. I mean, in reality, he could say, we are not ready to take possession of this whole land. There's not enough of us to go around. And yet he could see, as he looked at the vastness of the land, by faith he could see one day God is going to give us this land. One day he's going to make us big enough that we can fill this land that he has given us already. He could see that there would be a fulfillment of that promise. Though he could see the smallness of his families, he could recognize God is going to make us a great nation and we will fill this land. And so for Isaac, and so for Jacob. So they could see the promises, and then they were persuaded of them. Persuaded has a thought of being confident or fully convinced or assured. There was no doubt in Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob's mind that one day God would fulfill all the promises that he had made. It was going to be a long way down the road. And he was looking down the road and they could say, look, this can't happen overnight. But we are absolutely convinced he's going to do it. We are persuaded that God is going to do what he said he would do. Again, he recognized it's going to be a while. It's going to be down the road. Probably didn't anticipate maybe as far as it was down the road. But he anticipated this is going to be a long way away. And so with Isaac and Jacob, as we mentioned, also they could see this, that God is going to fulfill his word. Being persuaded of something that you cannot literally grasp and hold in your hands is faith. Isn't that what we said? The definition of faith in verse number 1 is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Physically, he couldn't see that it had happened, but spiritually, he could get a grip on the fact that God is going to do this. And they believed that God was going to do that. They were fully persuaded that God was going to do what he said he would do. And so it says they embraced those promises. Being able to see them and being persuaded by them, they said, yes, this is going to be great. Because embraced has a thought of they welcomed them. They said, this is going to be a wonderful thing when God does what he said he would do. There's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And so they embraced those promises. The distant nature of their fulfillment didn't deter the fact that they welcomed their fulfillment. They looked forward to their fulfillment. You know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. We could say that Abraham had a vision by faith of what God was going to do based on what God had promised to do. And so he carried about in the work that God had called him to do and trusted God to fulfill those promises. And we often have a problem with our sight because we see the here and now. We see what we can see. And we have a hard time envisioning what God can do because we think, well, it's dependent on what we can do or what we see or upon our resources. But we need to look further than that. We need to extend our vision, as it were, and look beyond. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. We get that tunnel vision. We get that narrow point of view that says, I can't imagine this could happen. And God says, lift up your eyes and trust me. Look further by faith. Look beyond. Look to see what I can do, not what you are capable of yourselves. Can't you get an idea of what God can do in the lives of people? You say, but people seem so hard and people seem so unreceptive to the things of God and they don't seem to care. And I don't think that we're going to see many people get saved, but don't you see that God can work in the lives of people and cause people, bring people to salvation? We need to get our mind off what we think could happen, and we look at somebody's life who we may be burdened for, maybe concerned for, and we say, I just can't see that they'll ever want to be saved. I just can't see that they'll ever have an interest in spiritual things. And God says, just keep praying, just keep trusting me. Just keep bringing them before me, just keep asking, just keep being a testimony before them and seeking to be a witness to them and just share with them what I've done in your life, God says, and just trust me. And so we need to look beyond what we can see of ourselves.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see people being saved and being baptized regularly and being added to the church and that every room in this building being filled up and used every week? Wouldn't that be great? We say, how can it happen? We trust God by faith. We do what we can do. We work towards that. We say, God, we're trusting you to do what we can't do. Because I can't save a soul and neither can you. But God can. We can speak with our mouths, but we can't speak to the heart, but God can. And so it's by faith that we go out with the gospel. It's by faith that we share the gospel. It's by faith that we say, God, we need you to do something here. We say, wouldn't it be great to support many more missionaries? And we look at the missionaries on the wall out there and we say, great, what a wonderful thing that we can have a part in these people's lives and reaching people whom we've never seen in different places in the world. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there was more than that wall filled, there was two or three or four walls filled of missionaries that we were able to have a part of in their ministries? Say, yeah, but we can't. No, but God can. God can. We can be channels that God can use, and we need to look further by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. They didn't give up and say, this just isn't going to happen. We may as well build our little city here, and we'll have our little part of this land, but we'll never get this land. No, they died in faith, saying, God said He's going to make us a great nation. We're going to trust Him to do it. They looked further by faith. And though some things may seem far away, we serve a great God who is able to do great things. A God who is not willing that any should perish. And so we trust Him by faith to work in the lives of others and use us to reach them for His glory. Are we persuaded that what God has promised, He is able also to perform? They were. And that's why they died in faith. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He said, I don't have any problem trusting what God can do. I'm trusting Him to do what He can do. What I cannot, but what He can do. Do the promises of God need to be immediately fulfilled for us to believe them? Do we need to see an instant answer, or else we say, like Thomas, I don't believe it. See, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, they were in it for the long haul. They said, we're trusting God, and went just because God hasn't done what He said He was going to do yet, it just isn't His time yet. He's going to do it. We're going to keep trusting Him to fulfill His promises. And so it says that they were confessed then that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. As we looked at in verses 8 to 10, they recognized that they were strangers and pilgrims by faith. They didn't belong here. They acknowledged that their citizenship, although God had promised them that land, their citizenship wasn't of this world. They said, we're strangers. They weren't to intermarry with the citizens of the land, nor were they to live like them. And that was Lot's problem, wasn't it? He went down to Sodom and he became the mayor of the town, possibly, and became involved in there and set roots in there instead of saying, we're going to trust God to give us the land. He realized, or he didn't realize God's promises. He just did what he could see. He looked and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He says, that's for me. I'm going to make my home here. Instead of saying, we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. They said, we're not turning back. In verse number 15, it says, and truly if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. There's no place like home. They said, we could just go back. We could just go back to where we came from and we'll fit in with them. We have relatives there. We have family there. And we're just going to go back there. But no, it says they weren't mindful of that. They said, God called us to be here. We're going to be here. We're not going to go back there. We're going to stay where God has called us to be. And He's promised to give us this land and we are not going back. There's only one direction to go and that is forward. We're going God's way. We're going forward into the land that He has called us to go to. It took faith to move forward because their physical eyes could not see it. If they let their minds go back to where they came from, they might have wanted to return. Remember the children of Israel when they left Egypt and they started wandering out? They're headed to the promised land. That's great. Woohoo! God gave us God's promise. This. They get going out there. They get discouraged because of the way. And what did they say? We want to go back. What? Really? You want to go back and be slaves? Oh, we remember the leeks and the garlics. Yum, yum. Leeks and garlics. Tasty, right? Well, maybe a little garlic in some things, but I don't know about you. Leeks and garlic doesn't make me want to go back there. But they looked back, they said, we want to go back. You want to go back and be slaves when God's promised you this land? It's freedom, milk and honey? Yeah, but we don't see it yet. Faith, trust me, God says. Keep going forward. But they let their mind go back to their comfort zone of what they came from. You know, Christian, if we lose sight of eternal things, we'll soon fall in love with the things of this world. And so the songwriter said it well, didn't he? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She looked back to Sodom. The angel said, get out of the city and don't look back. Lot's wife looked back. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember Peter, after Jesus had been crucified, before Jesus had risen again, or at least he didn't know Jesus had risen again, he said, I'm going fishing. I'm just going back to the way it used to be. I'm just going back to the way my life was before. And he says, I go fishing. And they said, hey, we're coming with you. He went back. But Jesus came along later and said, Peter, what are you doing here? What are you doing catching fish? I told you I was going to make you fishers of men. Don't get discouraged because of some hard times. Trust me, keep going forward by faith. And we need to guard our minds because dwelling too much on this life will cause us to turn around and go back. But they had a better country in mind, it tells us in verse number 16. They desire a better country. They didn't turn back because they had a better country in mind. Better than the one that they left. Better than the one that they were living in. They were looking for a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. The better country was God's country, which is heaven. The reason they died in faith, because they had their eyes set ultimately on heaven. Yeah, there were promises that God hadn't fulfilled yet in relationship to their possessing the land, but they died in faith because they were still looking beyond even that land. They were looking to eternity. They were looking to heaven. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but they desired a better country, that is in heavenly country. The country before them was not, the one that they were living in was not an enduring city, it was a temporary one. But the country ahead of them was heaven, an enduring city. We must keep our focus on the enduring city rather than the temporal things that our eyes see. Hebrews 13 verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Why is it so hard for people to see they need the Lord as their Savior? Because our eyes are filled with this life. We say, what do I need God for? We live in a country that's prosperous for the most part and has many wonderful things. And we say, people say, why do we need God? I have a place to live, I have clothes, I have food, I have a vehicle maybe, I have things I need. Why do I need God? People's lives are focused on this life. And we go to them with the message of salvation and we say to them, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because this life is going to end one day. But this life is so fills our minds and our eyes. We say, well, I don't know, it's not going to end anytime soon. I'm still young, I've got time. And our sight is very short because it's focused on this life and on this time. And so we lay up our treasures here and we say, this is where we're gonna be, and we're not gonna worry about eternity, we're not gonna worry about what's next, because we're just gonna live this life. Remember the story Jesus told in Luke chapter 12 about the man who had great prosperity. And he had a great farm, and the farm produced greatly, and he said, this is great. I don't need to work. I'm just going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns to put all my crops in there, and I've got much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So I've got life set. Now the Bible says that God said to him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be? And Jesus says, so is everyone that has their eyes so focused in this life, and they don't look, they're not rich towards God. And so we learn a lesson from these who we read about here in Hebrews chapter 11. We've got to look beyond this life. We've got to prepare for the next life. Eternity is coming. When will it be? It may well be different for every one of us. Most likely, unless the Lord comes back today, then it will be the same for most all of us who know Him. It will be the same for all of us who know Him. But we need to be prepared when eternity comes, because eternity is coming. I mentioned it before, but a friend of ours has a jewelry store, and there's a sign on his wall, and he has a lot of clocks. He used to repair clocks and watches and so on. And on his wall there's a sign that says, time passes, eternity approaches. There's going to come a time when time is no more, and eternity is going to be a reality. Where will we be when that takes place? Because God says there's only two places to be. One of them is heaven. That's where these people were looking forward to go. The other is a place called hell, a place of suffering and torment and separation from God for eternity. This life is given to us to prepare for eternity. These people desired a better country. They looked for a heavenly country. How about you today? Are you prepared for that heavenly country? Are you looking forward for that place of heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because He is the only one who can prepare you for eternity. And He wants you to receive Him by faith and receive His gift of eternal life. Christian, if you've done that already, then the reminder to us is, don't be so wrapped up in this life that we lose sight of eternity. Always living in view of eternity. Somebody said that acrostic to me many years ago, ALIVE, A-L-I-V-E, always live in view of eternity. It's not wrong to have things in this life. It's not wrong to enjoy this life. God says He's given us richly all things to enjoy, but don't let this life become your all-consuming goal. Always live in view of eternity. And remember that those eternal things are the more important, and they are the enduring things. Jesus said, if we lay up treasures on this earth, moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But those things are laid up in eternity. There is no moth, there is no rust, and there is no thieves to steal those things. Those things are laid up in heaven. Keep your eyes on eternity. And so we conclude with the thought in verse 16 at the end, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They looked for a city, and the Bible says God prepared for them a city. Why? Because they trusted Him by faith. He was not ashamed to be called their Father. He was not ashamed to call them His children, because they expressed their faith in Him, and He prepared for them a city. He rewarded their faith, as it were, by preparing them a city. He promised them a country, but He prepared for them a city. Does that remind you of some words of Jesus in John chapter 14, where He said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for His own. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is actively preparing a place for you. He said, there's many mansions there. And He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful knowledge and confidence to have that if you know Jesus Christ, there's a place in heaven with your name on it. It's prepared for you. But on the contrary, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's not yet preparing a place for you, but He would desire to prepare a place for you, and He wants you to express that faith in Him and what He has done for you upon Calvary. And then He says, I'll prepare a place for you. And then do you realize, Christian, He said, I ain't gone to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back and get you and take you there. Where's heaven? I don't know. Never seen it. But Jesus knows where it is, and He's coming back to get me, to take me there. I don't really need to stress over where exactly it is. And if the spaceships that have gone into the outer galaxies have ever seen it, God says, I'm preparing a place for you, and I'll take you there when it's your time. We read in the book of Luke that when Lazarus died, the angels came and carried him up to that place. There's a place prepared, and Jesus is coming back, and He could come back today. Before we dismiss, before there's an amen here, the trumpet may sound, and we may be caught up together to meet Him in the air. Will you be caught up with those who are prepared, for whom God is preparing a city? If you want to read about that city sometime, just take your Bible and look at the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. Can read about some wonderful things about that place that God has prepared. And if this world so marred by sin is so beautiful, imagine what heaven's like with no sin. It'd be a beautiful place. So how is your faith seeing today? How far is your faith looking today? Your faith needs to look beyond this life to prepare for eternity, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christian, your faith needs to see beyond this life as well, to realize that this world is not your final home. You're a stranger and a pilgrim here. You can enjoy this life and enjoy the things that God has blessed you with, but don't get your eyes so full of this world that you forget that heaven is your ultimate destination. But your faith needs to look beyond the temporal blessings that you may receive. You say, well, I trusted God for this and He gave it to me. That's great. Now I just go and do my own thing. No. Die in faith. Keep trusting God for more. Keep trusting God for what He wants to do with your life and through your life right to the end. Don't give up because you haven't seen the fulfillment of what you expected. Just keep trusting God to do what He desires to do in His perfect time in your life. What does God want to do with your life? Will you trust Him to do it? To reach your family and friends, to serve Him in some area of ministry, to use you as a channel to meet the needs of others. Remember, faith looks further. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for this time, and thank You for the opportunity we've had to look in this portion of Scripture. Lord, I pray we'd be challenged with this thought today. And Lord, for any who know not Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior here today, Lord, I ask that You'd stir their hearts, if there be any in that state, Lord, that they would realize that this life, as wonderful as it is sometimes, is only temporary, and we must prepare for eternity. And perhaps even this morning would be the day of salvation for some who know You not. And Lord, if those of us who know You, I pray that we also would realize that our faith needs to stretch beyond what we can see, to look further in this life when perhaps there's disappointments because we haven't seen what we thought, promises that should have been fulfilled already. Lord, may we realize that Your timing is not ours, and we can trust You to continue to fulfill the promises that You've given us. And Lord, I pray that You'd also help us to not get so fixed on this life that we lose sight of eternity, but may we lift up our eyes today by faith and look beyond this life. Lord, that we would serve You because we're expecting You to come and receive us to Yourself one day, and that may be today. And so, Lord, I pray You'd help us wherever our eyes of faith have been, that they would look further today, that it may be said of us one day, perhaps, that we died in faith. We died faithful. We died trusting You to continue to fulfill promises in our life. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can be challenged in this way by your word, and thank you again that you desire to speak to each one of our hearts. So give us that opportunity, Lord, we pray, to respond this morning, even in the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I'd be remiss this morning if I did not ask you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you were sure that if you died today that you go to heaven, that's the most wonderful thing, to know that heaven is your home. If you're here this morning, say, yes, preacher, I know that if I die today, I go to heaven because I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm trusting Him to take me to heaven one day. That's my testimony. I'm saved this morning. I'm assured of heaven. Just raise your hand as a testimony of that this morning. Just slip up your hand. Nobody's looking around. Amen. Many hands this morning. You may put your hands down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand this morning, and maybe you're not sure of heaven. It's a wonderful thing to know that we are going to heaven. If you're not sure of that but would like to know, we'd love to take a Bible and just show you from the Bible how you can know that. Maybe you hear this morning and say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago, but I'd like you to pray for me because I'd like to have that assurance. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Let me pray for you this morning. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Amen. Lord bless you. Anybody else? Maybe you hear this morning, Christian, and you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart because of some things I've kind of given up believing God's going to do. But this morning, God has challenged me to just keep trusting Him, to look further by faith. Maybe it's the salvation of a loved one. Maybe it's something at work that God has been doing in your life, something you believe that God was going to do, and you've just kind of been discouraged and said, I don't know, I guess it's not going to happen. But this morning, you've been encouraged by the message to just keep trusting God and look further by faith. Say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. Anybody like that this morning? Let me pray for you today. Amen. Lord bless you. Anybody else? Maybe you're here this morning, Christian, and I want to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe you've been preoccupied with the things of this life and really lost sight of the importance of eternity as opposed to this life. And this morning, God has spoken to your heart about what He wants you to do with your life to serve Him in view of eternity. And maybe you need to talk to God about that. But Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And Lord, for those who are not sure of their salvation this morning, I pray that today would be a day where they would receive that assurance, that confidence that heaven is their home. Lord, there's no greater joy than knowing that heaven is settled. And Lord, though we look forward to living perhaps many more years in this life, to know that whenever this life ends, that heaven will be our home brings such comfort and confidence in this life. And so I pray for those, Lord, especially the one who raised their hand this morning, that, Lord, that today would be the day when they would make that sure and certain and have that peace. Lord, for those that raise their hand and, Lord, need to trust you for more in their life, perhaps been discouraged, Lord, about something in their life, Lord, encourage them today and help them in the decisions perhaps that need to be made in their life just to continue to trust you to do that which you can do and desire to do in their life. And so speak to us during this invitation hymn, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.